Father, this morning I ask that you give me wisdom to speak your will, your word. And Father, keep me on the message that you have before me. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit go forth to each and every one of us. For those that need to hear this message for the first time to their hearts, that their ears be open and their minds be ready to listen, and their souls be ready to feel your presence. Heavenly Father, for those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ, I ask, Lord, that you strengthen our ties with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And Father, I ask that you give us aid and understanding your will. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning we're going to be continuing with part 3 of the series on the Holy Spirit. We started with establishing the deity of the Holy Spirit. And then last week we spent some time on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it differs from other baptisms. So this week we're going to talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Before we get into things like the anointing, the gifts, we need to understand how the Holy Spirit is a part of us. In Ezekiel chapter 36, in verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do this. You see, the Lord made us a promise there that he would send a piece of himself to come into us, to fill a hole that would be made when he removes our heart of stone and instead replaces it with his spirit to help guide us to walk in his statutes so that we can understand his judgments, keep them, follow his guidance. So that was the promise back in the Old Testament with Ezekiel. In John, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. We can pick up with this. Chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We talked last night about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's only one qualification criteria for that, and that is acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. At that point, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you become indwelled with the Holy Spirit. This Spirit is there for us to communicate with God, but for also so that God can communicate with the world around us, so that we can testify of him. He gave us his Spirit for a reason. You see, there's works that need to be done here on earth, and God needs his hand to be felt amongst the believers and the non-believers. So rather than sending his angels down to testify of his Son, he sent us. We have a role to play. We're to testify to the world that he sent his son as a savior. In Ephesians, if you turn with me to Ephesians 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You see, the Holy Spirit is indwelt within us to testify of Jesus Christ, but it is also a reminder to us. It is a guarantee of our salvation. It's a guarantee that we have been paid for, that our sins have been completely paid for. It's a receipt to us as believers. Anytime we look inward and we say, God, I know I've done all these things, but can you give me some proof that you're in my life? He says, I'm here inside of you. That's your proof. That's your evidence. The Holy Spirit is dwelling amongst inside of your body as a temple. If you need any more than that, just look inside. Let it confirm to you. Just like a receipt in your pocket that you've been paid for. Let it confirm to you looking inside that your soul has been purchased. So we're to testify to others. And the Holy Spirit's to help us with that. But in those times when we're alone and the devil starts digging on us and saying, you're worthless. The Holy Spirit's there for us to look inwards and go, no, I have a price. That price was paid. Here's the evidence of it. Here's the receipt. It cost the life of Jesus Christ. And there's value to that. That's why he dwells within us as that guarantee of our salvation. So that beyond any doubt, we know we have an inheritance. Romans chapter 8. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There's a lot in that section, so let's break it down a little bit. First off, this flesh, this mortal body, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it dies. That's what it says. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the Spirit of the Lord moves in and resurrects us. That's what it says. So we are alive.
Christ as our Lord and Savior for our own personal benefit, there's no reason for us to be here anymore. The price is already guaranteed, right? Once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been given that position in heaven. We've been guaranteed that inheritance. So we're no longer here for us anymore. So our bodies wouldn't need to live for us anymore. But we are resurrected by the Holy Spirit
to do His work. And we die to the flesh then. And we become His instruments for those around us to testify to our friends, our family, to strangers, even our prayers to people we don't even see. We're here to play a role for Him because our personal selves are dead. 1 Corinthians 3:16. We've read this before, but just to drive it home. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. It's easy for us to come into a church building and feel some feeling of reverence for the place as a house of God. But that same feeling ought to be with us day to day because we are a walking temple for God. The Jews, only certain priests were allowed to enter the Holy of Holies. The rest, the commoners, would have to stay outside. There was a great reverence for the temple of God. Those that would even touch the Ark of Covenant would die. You see, we look back to the Old Testament, we get all this reverence for the temple, the tabernacle of God. But we forget we're a walk-in version of it today. And it says here, that anyone who defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Think back to the Ark of Covenant that held God in the Old Testament. A piece of Him was inside of it. There are several accounts where people would just reach to touch and be instantly destroyed. That's how we're to think of ourselves. We're a temple for God. Now, I'm not asking you to be cocky, but I do want you to understand any reverence you have for a church building, any reverence you might have for a tabernacle, if you just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should have the same reverence for your own self. Your body is a temple for God, and we should be taking care of it as that. Satan sees it as that. To Satan, it's a stronghold. It's a fortress that he wants to tear down. Turn with us to Galatians. Chapter 5. And in verse 16. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, there is going to be an internal battle. A war against the Spirit. This contrariness within. And that's Satan's way of making an attack upon the house of the
attack against God. If we turn now back to 1 Corinthians, I know I'm having you jump around and you're going to do some more. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he said, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You see, what he's trying to tell us here is that because we are a temple of God, because we have the Holy Spirit indwelled within us, the things that we do, we're taking God along with us. And when we step into the flesh and we do those things that are sinful, we've got God pulled right along in with us. And he uses the example of the harlot. And if we as believers sleep with the harlot, it says that's the same as bringing Jesus Christ into the same bed with the harlot. I know this is strong, but it's the word. If I'm wrong on it, point it to me. Second Corinthians, chapter 2. Second Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. And in this confidence, that doesn't sound right. I'm one page off. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Because we are temples of God, I've already told you how Satan sees us as these fortresses. But how do others see us? It says, well, there will be two types here. See, we get off this fragrance of Christ. Because we have God within us, we give off this fragrance. I don't care if you open your mouth or not, but as you walk through a crowd, you still give off a fragrance. And we give off this fragrance of Christ, and that fragrance hits two types of people. The believers smell this fragrance, and it gives them hope. Because it's an aroma of life. It reminds them that God hasn't left any of us alone in the world. We're a unified body. And when you walk amongst believers and true believers, you can just feel it. That companionship, even if you don't know them. It's that aroma. But to the non-believers, it's an altogether different aroma. My dad says, we stink. That's the way he says it. And in a good right. See, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we stink to the world. Because what they smell from us is death. What they smell from us is judgment. And that's why it's difficult for non-believers to be around believers too long. Because they smell it. They smell that judgment coming. They smell that death before them. Some it scares. Some it angers. You see,
Christ. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, Mark Newsom in the flesh died. When you accept Jesus Christ, you in the flesh die. And you're a vessel for the Lord. So it shouldn't surprise you any that as you go forth into the world, that you're going to meet opposition, that you're going to meet defiance, that you're going to meet fear from unbelievers. Jesus did what he walked in the flesh. John 14. I read part of this morning. This is the Gospel of John. John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's Jesus speaking. As he was in the midst of meeting defiance, opposition, even from the religious heads, fear. You see, he says, the world cannot receive. Because to receive Jesus Christ, you have to die to yourself. And the world's not willing to die. Jude 17. This will be our last one. No chapter, just the verse. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sinful persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, so that there would be a way for each and every one of us, open, available to each and every one of us, to make things right for what we've done, to have our sin paid for in full. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to resurrect us from the dead, so we may be a part of your works here on earth. Lord, for those of us within this building that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I ask that you have the Holy Spirit talk boldly to us. Strongly to us. So we can feel it. What your will is for us. Even when we put up the blinds, Lord, we close our ears. Lord, I ask that you have them speak louder to us. Lord, have them thunder in our hearts. Heavenly Father, for those out there that don't believe in your Son yet, they may have heard, but they don't know. And they wonder, do I have the Holy Spirit inside of me? Lord, I ask that you convict their hearts. bring him to that point. I need to make the decision to accept your Son as their Lord and Savior so they can go on with the guarantee from your Holy Spirit of their salvation, their eternal life. Heavenly Father, as we go out this week, bringing your fragrance amongst the world, Lord, strengthen us. Give us the resolve to stand amongst your mockers, amongst those defiant, amongst those in fear. And a reminder, you never left us alone on this earth. No matter what the situation is, you're not just sitting up on some throne a thousand miles away, but you're here on earth now, dwelling amongst us. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We will be singing in your hymnals for the invitational hymn, page 607. We'll sing all three verses. At this time, if you have that question in your heart, I encourage you to take this opportunity. Accept Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in and fill that hole.